He Hate Me was missing.
He
yes,
Hate
he
Me.
Is.
Oh, well, he's here? Found now.
Yeah, they found
but
him.
He was missing.
Yeah.
Where
was he?
Well, I was about to say, where was he? He missing. No, it just scrolled on the bottom. I got Sports Center on.
No, I seen that, but where was he?
Missing. That's weird. Yeah, I didn't even know he was going on. How long has he been missing?
It was since Wednesday last week.
That's not missing. That's on hiatus. That's not even a week, man.
Yeah, he probably got drunk and fell asleep in a ditch and then, like, just went to the bar. Just went to the bar the next day again.
Hey, he's probably with his mistress or something.
Yeah. Well, now you know why they hate him.
That's why she hate him.
Right?
Oh, Lord. Jesse made another one. Huh? Packing the mail, it's gone. She like I smell cologne. Yeah. I just signed a deal, I'm on. Yeah, yeah. I go where I want, good. Play if you want, it's do it. I'm a young CEO, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first nigga play, I'ma body a nigga. I just check my balance, I probably pull up to your hood and come buy me a nigga. No cap. You know that your hoe told you that nigga crazy. Don't think that she lied to you, nigga. Bitch. Get caught with your hoe and I'm popping them both. Now they hot just like Bobby and Whitney. Say I'm the GOAT, act like I don't know. But fuck it, I'm obviously winning. Don't make me go hit the bank. And take out 100 to show you our pockets is different. I'm out with your bitch and I only want knowledge. She got a little mileage, I'm chilling. You disrespect me and I beat your ass up all in front of your partners and children. I'm the type to let nigga think that I'm broke until I pop out with a million. And take 20K and put that on your head and make one of your partners come kill you. Yeah. Say fucking with me, then he gotta grow up. Cause this nigga gotta be kid. This shit can't fit in my pocket. I got it. Like I hit the lottery, nigga. I slap the shit out of nigga. No talking. I don't like to argue with nigga. I don't. Ain't gonna be no more laughing. You see me whip out cause I'm gonna be the shot me a nigga. No cap. I don't follow no bitches on IG, but all of your bitches, they following nigga. And that little nigga ain't gonna shoot shit with that gun. He just pull it out in his pictures.
Bitch.
Packing the mail, it's gone. She like I smell cologne.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to the latest edition of Pod Is War. Pod Is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
There we go. And use your heads, you shall. And take yourselves to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official ChairShot t-shirts. Please and thank you. Thank you. And please, we've got them in all shapes and sizes, all different colors, all of that. We've got old school designs, the old school ChairShot logo. We've got new school designs, the ChairShot Corona logo. That's one of my personal faves. We've got Safe Tag Team Wrestling. Of course, my fave, Jesus Did the Job. And we've got the shirt, endorsed by one half of this weekend's Stomping Grounds, or Stamping Grounds, I've heard it said both ways, main event, Mr. Baron Corbin, i.e. the Baron Corbin Suck shirt. Either way, if you're a wrestling fan, if you're a fan of us, we've got something for you, or the wrestling fan in your life. So make sure you all go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot to pick up your official Chair Shot merchandise. Remember, ChairShot.com is not just a website, it's a movement. Folks, I got to apologize. We didn't get to do a show last week. My bad. That was on me. But we're right back to bring you a little more fish grease this week. All right. I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. As always, I'm joined by Andrew Belaz. And Andrew, Mr. Belaz, brother, I have to tell you that I was listening to a little bit of Raw Reaction. Shout out to Harry Bratwurst. And it's nice to know that you bring the same level of non-enthusiasm and you're just as lethargic on that show as you are on this one. So shout out to consistency, I suppose.
Hey, I'm nothing if not consistent, and I revel in that a little bit. And it also doesn't help that that goes on later than we ever record this one, because Raw goes on till fucking 11 o'clock at night on a Monday. And it's a Monday. Come on. First day of work. Nobody fucking wants to be at work on a Monday. Ugh. It's a fucking shitty day to do anything. Maybe that's why Raw has been kind of mediocre. Like, just nobody wants to be there. It's the first day of work week. Maybe that's it. I figured it out.
And folks, you'll be happy to know that Mr. Blaz also moonlights as a suicide hotline. So,
yes, but I encourage it. There's a difference. I'd be like, you're right. You got nothing to live for. I'll join you. Hold on a second.
You'd be picking one like, you're not really going to do it. You're a pussy. You're not going to do it. Yeah, you don't have the balls.
That would be fun. The antagonistic suicide hotline. That'd be great. I'm so sad, bitch. You don't know sad. Let me tell you. Like, you fucking pussy. You can't do shit. Go to bed. Take your fucking teddy bear. Suck your thumb. Take some NyQuil. You'll be fine.
Word around the campfire is you have a 97% conversion rate.
You know, that's you don't pretty get good. Too many what second can calls, I say? My friend. Yeah, you, what can I say? That's I go for efficiency, but you know, it's a consistency and efficiency. That's my middle name because I was confirmed Catholic. You know, so consistency, efficiency, two middle name.
I heard.
There we go. We got it.
Listen, I heard efficiency butt is Ricochet's nickname.
Hey!
Well played, sir. Well played. You really, you got your finger on the pulse this week, Mr. Tunney. That voice, by the way, is the Commissioner PC Tunney. Yes.
Ahoy, ahoy.
You were really ass out on this show, ain't we?
Bottoms up, baby.
So how many knuckles deep was that? One or two? Which way do you go?
I believe it was a 680.
Is that a whole new meaning to white knuckle tight?
Oof. Wow. Ooh. I just shiver just thinking about it. I just got a visual. Yeah. Ooh. That fucked my world up.
Oh, before we move on to any topics or anything or whatever, we're very poorly planned this week, folks, so just fucking deal with it. But, Mr. Platt, you sure you want to take the bullet for last week?
Well, I mean, I can't take it by myself, but, you know, I'm not going to throw anybody else under the bus. So, I'm, you know, it's called responsibility, Tony. It's called being an adult. I'm adulting right now.
Well, so you're going to take the responsibility for me bailing on you guys.
Because you didn't bail, man. I fell asleep. Like, you were ready, and I was asleep.
Oh, no. So then you don't even know. I bailed before we could even start the show last week.
No. I saw that. Yes. I saw that.
And then your other, the next day when you said something about, what, 10:30 or something like that. And I said too late, and Platt just didn't respond. Yep.
Nah,
yeah.
No,
I think that's what he's getting at.
Yeah, I would. No, that's on me.
Oh, what is this? Potter's War, the accountability episode?
No.
Pot is war, fall on your sword.
No. I'm Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not. Oh, really? Nice to meet you, not doing it.
All right. I'm Christopher, and that's Mr. Tunney.
Hello, Spartacus.
And that's Andrew, not doing it. Let's go to topic.
It is. Whatever you say, Moby.
Fuck you. All right, folks, I'm going to pull the curtain back here, and this is the second time we're doing the show from the beginning, and I hope Platt likes this question better the second time I ask it, or maybe I'll just ask Balls to start off this topic. Monday night on Raw, AJ Styles gave, you know, the business a little bit to Gallows and Anderson, the Good Brothers, in the back. I thought it was a hilarious start to that segment, though, when they walked in as doctors, but... Do you, you know, he called them out, said they got complacent since they had gotten to, were you popping on the good doctor, the good brothers, or what? Doctor?
Yeah, we're coming off what we talked about before, and now doctors gloves? Are funny.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Man, actually, that would be better than, yeah, because all I was laughing at was the sight of them just, you know, just totally unrelated. No backstory, no context or nothing. They just come walking up wearing lab coats. I don't know why that just
made me chuckle. It was a reference to their skit from last year a couple times when they were doctors.
Yeah.
It was still funny the way Tunney said it, and then it just popped in my head. And,
see, I thought you were going to laugh because you're like, look, it's another two white guys that don't really pull off the bald look. So, okay, there we go.
That's true, too. Maybe that's what Tunney's going for. He's trying to join the club, huh?
Little camaraderie right there.
I knew you'd get that in the second time. I knew you'd get that in the second time still. I knew it. I knew you would. What? Good for you. I'm proud of you. That was great. All right. The question is, AJ Styles challenged the Good Brothers and them being complacent since earning money in WWE. Very much a storyline there. But talk to me about guys you may or may not feel or things that you see that look like people just being complacent, just happy to be in WWE and not trying to continue to strive for more.
I mean, that's called having a job. And I mean, you know, let me even preference this, you know, some, not all. I shouldn't have to say that when we're having an intelligent conversation, but you have to say that because not everybody's intelligent. Some, not all. Like, there's a lot of type A personalities out there that are just, you know, they're striving for the brass ring or in whatever walk of life or field that you choose. But, I mean, yeah, that happens on jobs, man. Sometimes people just get complacent and they just show up for the paycheck and they go home and take care of their families. I don't think that that's a... I don't think that's exclusive to WWE. I mean, how many people on your job are there just phoning it in? How many of the people under the sound of my voice, you go to your job, and as soon as you get there, you just turn it on autopilot because you've been doing it for long enough and you know exactly what you're doing. I mean, this happens. I mean, you look at somebody, for example, like Shinsuke Nakamura. He's a guy that he likes being in America. He enjoys American culture. He's moved his family over here. He likes to surf. He's beat himself up over in New Japan for years and years and years. So now he's cashing in, or cashing out, rather. You know, he's in his late 30s, and he's just happy to have a paycheck and be in America. Or somebody like Rusev. I mean, from all accounts, Rusev also seems to enjoy American culture and Americana. Would he like to be further up the card? Would he like to be on television more consistently and have a bigger role? I'm sure. But at the end of the day, hey, I'm in America, I'm making pretty good money, and I get to go home and have sex with my blonde wife, so I'm not going to rock the boat. And I think that's where a lot of it comes in. Like, don't get me wrong. Nobody gets into show business to sit in fucking catering. That's not how this works. But for everybody on that roster, with the notable exception of Randy Orton, that was their dream. Like, they're living out their dreams. It just so happens that sometimes your dreams don't turn out to be what you thought they were going to be. You know, maybe the back, they don't see something in you, or you don't like the direction you're in, or they have nothing for you, or whatever the case may be. But up until recently, there was no viable alternative, and you're making good money. You got a family to feed. Yeah, I'll go along to get along. I'll eat a little shit, and I'll sit here, and I'll feed my family. That happens in all walks of life. I don't think that's exclusive to professional wrestling or any other industry.
Yeah, it's not exclusive to pro wrestling. That's a good point. And I don't. There's a lot of people that, you know, after the WWE thing, when they do their interviews with all the podcasts, they like to rag on creative. But then there's also a bunch of other people that kind of say you have to make the best of the situation you're given. And a lot of people don't like to do that. A lot of it seems like people are just crying that they don't get fucking put in the position they think they deserve to be put in. I don't think that was the Good Brothers. I think the Good Brothers just kind of came in at a weird point, and then throughout the last 2 years, the different tag divisions have all looked kind of stagnant or weak, and it's all focused around, like, New Day and Usos, or just, like, one focal point rivalry throughout most of the brands. So I think they just kind of fell to the wayside for the next man up kind of thing. This story, I don't think there's a lot of credence behind them getting complacent. I just think it's a really good way of getting them back on television to kind of appease them so they don't jump to any kind of alternatives, because Revival, as soon as that buzz started that, you know, they might have wanted to jump somewhere, then suddenly they get a title shot. Suddenly they get the titles twice now, and they're kind of always kept in the main event scene, even though they're doing goofy shit at times, but they're always kind of kept as like the main team on Raw. This could be the same kind of thing for the club. They even referenced New Japan, which they haven't done in a while. They mentioned the fact that they were 3-time IWGP heavyweight tag champions, and I don't know if that's something to read into, that with all the speculation that New Japan and the New Japan wrestlers are sick of ROH, maybe WWE is going to try to actually open up the borders and do more working together with people like they used to back in the 90s, instead of being on their little island and they're the closed fort of the global monopoly. But I don't know. It's an interesting enough story to get them on TV. I'm fine with it. And it also keeps AJ on TV without having to actually do anything, because I think he's still nursing an injury. So it works itself out nicely for all parties involved. So,
well, I'm WWE's island is not little. Their island is Australia, my guy. Like,
you know what I mean, though. They're very secluded. They don't really play with others anymore, which they used to back in the day.
Now, I don't know their contractual situation. I don't know if they re-signed, or does anybody know that? Did they re-sign, or are they just playing out the string, as they say in baseball?
I think they're still working on their first 3-year contract, whatever that was when they came in.
No, but I know that they had tried to re-sign because, you know, they're trying to re-up everybody for 5 years to keep them locked in. And I don't know if the Good Brothers took that deal or not.
I don't think I've seen anything for it yet.
If I had to guesstimate, I'd say they're probably up after Mania.
Okay. Okay, so this is their push to try to get them to stay by possibly doing something with them.
Could be.
But I mean, yeah, not, you know, and I know a couple of weeks ago on the Greg DeMarco show, they were talking about how there was a report that came out. Meltzer actually reported that there was a lot of talent in the back that were frustrated with their slots. And, you know, they were kind of ragging him on that. But I mean, you don't have to be Dave Meltzer. I mean, Ray Charles can see that, and he's blind and dead. Like I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility. Like
when I used to work for FedEx, Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, they both used to load my truck.
That explains so much about how I get deliveries.
Cool. All right. So, yeah. Did they sing while they were doing it? What?
I don't know. I get there when they're done.
That'd be more entertaining if they put on a show like that. That'd be some good shit. That's some karaoke I'd sign up for.
Hey, this one's going to Georgia. Georgia.
All the souls are going.
Come on, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. Come on.
Georgia. It was a good reference. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, it's well played. It's well played. But yeah, but like I said earlier, man, nobody gets into show business to sit back in catering. So I can imagine that there's a lot of people frustrated with their slots. And I mean, there's some culpability on both sides. Let's keep it a buck, man. It's not totally WWE's fault. They're not just misusing everybody. I mean, but they do misuse some people. And then some people, yeah, maybe they don't want to take advantage of their opportunities that they get, or they don't knock it out of the park. Like, look at somebody, for example, look at like a Ron Killings. This guy gets shit and he turns it into gold every single week. But I mean, it takes a certain type of person to do that. And, you know, I mean, and they're artists, man. Artists are prickly and moody. And I mean, come on. They're temperamental. Excuse me. That just comes with the genre.
No, so, you're right about that. But let's also remember a few years ago, not a long, long time ago, but within, I think, like the last decade, Nick Dinsmore got a handicapped character over. If you gave that to anybody else at any point in time, Not including now because it's politically incorrect and people would just, you know, go through the roof and cry a lot. Like, do you really think that would have gotten over with anybody else?
But you kind of proved my point right there because he did take that character and got it over. But ultimately, that character hamstrung him and it put a cap on his ceiling and he washed out the company shortly thereafter.
Oh, well, yeah, it was basically his only thing. And then after that wore out its welcome, then he was done. But he still got it over. Like, you can't blame him. You can't knock him on the fact that he got over Eugene really fucking well. Like he was probably one of the top mid-carders at the time because you weren't ever gonna really take him seriously in the fucking main event. But like he was really fucking popular.
He was, but again, that you really just proved both sides of my point right there. Because yes, he did get it over, and you have to give him credit for that. But again, it hamstrung him. It had a shelf life. And ultimately, I don't even know what the hell he's doing now. He's probably, like, selling cars. And I guess all wrestlers either move to Arizona or Florida, right?
He's probably training somebody in Florida or Vegas, most likely. That's going to be my assumption.
Yeah.
Because it seems Vegas, to be what most people do. Yeah,
and Vegas. Yeah, all wrestlers end up moving to Florida, Arizona, or Vegas. I don't know why. Maybe the weather. I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know why those are the hotbeds. That's actually a really good question.
I would assume the weather, and I would assume that not everybody has California money.
You would think, though, that the constant hurricanes would kind of put a damper on moving to Florida, though.
Touche. But where else would they go? Like, you know, it's probably, you know, that heat. Like, I can see, like, Arizona and Vegas is a dry heat, probably better on their joints and bones. Florida, no state tax. So that, you know, that's a factor.
I mean, Delaware, you could do that, though, but Delaware's also tiny, so obviously you don't get as much space per capita, that kind of thing.
And it's cold.
What did Delaware?
Not too bad, though.
What's a parka?
A parka. Not La Parka, because he's in Mexico, but Delaware, ooh, a parka.
Shout out to La Parka, by the way. Not the new one. I haven't seen too much of the new one, but L.A. Park, the OG.
Yeah, OG La Parka. That's the only one we care about here.
Yeah, I was watching some old WCW, and they did a Lucha style match on one of the pay per views, and he was out there. The chair. Talk about giving shit and getting yourself over.
Yeah, that's true. They just gave him a chair and he did his little La Parca dance. And that's all. It's like, here's a chair. All right. I'll work with this.
And I don't even know if they gave him the chair. They might have just gave him some TV time and he figured some shit out.
That's true. Somebody might have just called him the chairman and he'd be like, wait, I have an idea.
See?
But in Spanish.
But yeah, in summary, yes, people get complacent. People get complacent in all walks of life.
It's just nice to see the club and Styles on the TV together. So I'll take it. Next question. Do we have a next question?
Says Mr. Complacency himself, Andrew Belay.
No, consistency and efficiency, not complacency.
Yeah, they all sound the same to me.
Do we have a next question? Never, ever end. Okay, so let's get into WWE Stomping Grounds, and let's start it with this. Will we see Bray Wyatt interfere in some sort of matchup at WWE Stomping Grounds? And if he were to, what would make the most sense?
He's not. He's not.
Yeah, I don't need to see that character randomly insert itself into anything. Like, what the fuck do we have? Like, Corbin and Rollins? No. Joe and Ricochet? No. Whatever's going on in SmackDown, that's kind of locked up because Kofi and Kevin and Ziggler, that's kind of the obvious track on where they're going. And I can't really see, maybe if he were to interfere in anything, it might be Shane and Roman, because that's the only thing that Roman could kind of use an equalizer for. But, or Drew and Roman, because Shane's around. But regardless, I hope not. I hope they kind of do something a little more clever with him. But this week's episode kind of felt like the final episode before he re-debuts, because they kind of threw everything together, did the whole remixes of his Muscle Man Dance song with the different styles. And it felt like and now he's back kind of episode.
All right, then before we get to Stomping Grounds, we'll make the topic number 3. Book Bray Wyatt. Each of you book him and tell me when he comes back and what would be the best way. What would you do with him? Vince said, balls? Platt? What am I going to do here?
That was your Vince.
I don't know.
You sound like Batman coming for you.
Like a fucking Vince McMahon played by William Shatner.
Yeah. Balls. Platt. Balls. I need you to do something. Warp speed. What? That's a good
Damn
question.
Balls, I'm not a
The
doctor.
Bray character is so weird, and it's fantastic that it's so weird and it's just so different at the moment, and it's really the only thing I personally look forward to every Raw. Granted, Raw hasn't been awful to Nina last few weeks, but like, I don't look forward to anything except Bray. Bringing him back, it would have to be kind of quirky and kind of... Fuck, there's not really another character. Aside from Aleister Black, there's really no other character that kind of goes with that. And the fact that Black keeps looking for people to knock on his door, and Bray kind of has that abandon all hope ye who exit here on his door now. If he were to open his door and walk into Black's kind of dark room and, you know, that kind of thing, that'd be interesting, I guess, because it's the occult guy and the fucking crazy fiend psychopath guy. So I think Black is probably the only way that I could really see that going. Platt?
I'm thinking.
It's got to be something better than Black, though. I get where you're going there, and I kind of pique my interest, and I understand that. But, like, after all of this, it's got to be something major, right? I mean, what if he would have interfered in the Goldberg-Undertaker match? That would have been perfect and just destroyed them both.
That would have been a good way to save the match, too, if the lights randomly went out and they were both dropped and didn't actually have to do moves. That would have been fantastic. But they missed the boat on that one. But I don't know. I think you can shove him into the main event right away.
Yeah, I think you got to go slow on this one. And he needs to exist in his own universe for a while. Because
we've done that already.
And I agree, matches don't. Okay, let's not interrupt me while I'm making my point. And yes, I agree, matches don't matter, but wins and losses do. There was technically nothing wrong with his old character. The only problem was when it got down to the get down, he was talking all this shit, and he was going to get his ass whooped in the end. So there was no emotional attachment to the character. So yeah, you need to bring him along as slow as possible, let him eat on some people, get a few wins. Maybe one thing you could do, because the interesting thing about the Firefly Funhouse is that it encompasses all of his old gimmicks into this one. Like, you got, you know, Abby the Witch, Sister Abigail. You got Mercy the Buzzard. That was the whole thing, follow the buzzards. You got Rambling Rabbit, which kind of encompasses him just getting on the mic and just talking a bunch of shit. You know what I mean? And then that's why the buzzard and the rabbit don't get along. You dig? So maybe that's the route that you go. He has to go back through all of his old feuds and exercise all of his demons to truly come out free on the other side. So maybe he goes in there and he attacks Randy Orton for burning down his house, or he attacks Braun Strowman for defecting from him, for leaving the family. You know, maybe he goes back and, you know, goes at Roman at some point in time. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe that's something that Luke Harper can come back for, and that could be his first feud, and that's his first demon that he exercises, since they ain't doing shit else with him and he's still on the roster.
I don't mind that. That's not bad, especially since he does have beef with both Brian and Rowan then. So you could wedge him into the SmackDown tag scene. Maybe not to win the tag belts, but to kind of pick him apart or set himself up. Yeah, that's interesting. My big problem was just, I don't know where the fuck they're going with Aleister Black either. He's been fucking talking absolute nonsense, kind of like Bray during his rambling time, where he wants people to come to him. It's kind of a bitch move, and I'm just so sick of hearing him talk. He's not a strong talker. He's not a convincing talker. There's nothing about that makes me give a fuck. And the fact he's like, someone knock on my door, like, I'm waiting for the Three's Company music to start. Like, that's really what it is. So I guess that'd be a good way to kind of get them both into something instead of just talking, though Bray does it much, much better, and the Funhouse is fantastic.
It is fantastic, and it does seem like they're setting him up to come back sooner rather than later. But yeah, keep him as separate in his own little universe for as long as you possibly can. Let him rack up some wins so when he does have that meaningful feud, it actually matters. Then he's also got to go over in the feud. He's got to get the best of the guy in the feud, because that's what this all boils back to. It all sounds good, but at the end of the day, if they're not going to put any steam behind him by letting him get some dubs, it's all for naught.
The question turns into, do you want him to use the Fiend like Balor uses the Demon? Or do you want them to be separate entities or something that just randomly takes over at certain points? Like, how do you want him to balance his new kind of gimmicks?
I'm going to leave that up to Bray, because he could do it better than anything I could imagine. So I'm going to leave that up to him.
But would you be upset if he used it like Finn does the Demon? Where would you just see it as cookie cutter, easy way out? Kind of like, oh, when shit gets serious, then the Fiend comes out?
Yeah, because it would seem a little redundant. Because you already got the Demon in there, so that would seem a little redundant. Unless they did it in a way where maybe it could happen in, you know, not necessarily match to match, but like move to move. Like maybe, you know, that could be like his hulking up or something, you know, within a match. Like the lights go out, you come on, and the whatever the hell you called it is there. The thing for Predator is there.
The Fiend mask or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. That might work.
Yeah, maybe they could do something like that.
It's an idea. Tony, you're usually the grand master of the takes and the fantasy booking. Where do you want to see Bray and his funhouse go?
He's beaten everybody before. He's done the whole thing multiple times. So I'm talking at least twice, talking probably three or four times, where he's built up to that level and not succeeded, or succeeded at the absolute wrong time, i.e. the whole Randy Orton thing when the other one should have won at the other time. Mm-hmm. But we already know that. We don't need to be convinced of any of that, right? Like, That's why I feel he needs to be put right into the main event somewhere. Why doesn't he be the guy that beats Kofi? Why doesn't he beat that match down and turns into a triple threat and then he whoops some ass? I don't know. He could be that. He could stalk Kofi the whole summer and be the person to beat him at SummerSlam. Or maybe that's the match that Brock Lesnar comes out. But you need Bray Wyatt to be put right into the main event. Otherwise, to me, all this whole drawn-out buildup doesn't mean anything if he comes out and beats Kurt fucking Hawkins on Monday Night Raw.
So where do you go with him?
I mean, to the main event somewhere! Yeah. I just told you!
You did. You said New Day.
No. Are you going to let me finish now, Travis Bickle? If you start him in the main event, where do you go from there? There's no place to go but down and forgotten and back to the land of forgotten toys.
I'm saying put the belt on him.
Okay, for how long?
Mania.
And then he's back to the land of forgotten toys.
Why? And then he can turn himself into a Mick Foley and have meaningful rivalries with people that are important and sustain people and have up-and-comers come through him and sustain a long rivalry and build themselves into the top. He can be the heel gatekeeper after he has a successful title run.
All right. Whatever, man. It's your journey.
That's not awful. Like, we've seen it happen with Foley and with Piper and stuff like that. Granted, Piper didn't have the title run, but same concept. Like, no, I don't hate it.
Piper was never no gatekeeper either. Piper ain't like to lose. Piper lost like 6 times in his whole career.
That's not the point. When it came to the bigger guys, he lost most of the time. But anyway, I don't mind it. I think my only problem is the first sign of weakness is going to be the death knell for the character, because everybody bitched that Bray lost all of the significant feuds like we were just talking about. So if they push him too quickly, they want him to stay at the top too quickly, and that's not how the story goes. Like, you have to cycle through. He's got to dip down to the upper mid card or something like that. So if he starts upper mid, like just creeping out on people, but maybe purposely not going after them and picking up, like, Finn's the Intercontinental Champion. You're trying to tell me you wouldn't love to see Finn versus Brad? Oh, I see the finger up. So, okay, what's your caveat for Finn then?
He's the what champion?
Finger up.
Okay, you say it because it's your word.
No, he's the Fintercontinental Champion.
Oh, good God. That's even worse than what I thought.
You made the show come to a screeching halt.
I thought you were just going to do your Intercontinental. I didn't think you were going to add the Fiend or not, whatever the fuck that was. But still, so Finn and him would be fine. Like, maybe start with Alistair, then go to Finn, deal with all the creepy people first.
There's no way Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt are having a fucking program right now.
I didn't mean right now. This is obviously something has to be built up. Finn Balor hasn't been on TV for like 3 out of the last 4 weeks or whatever the fuck. He came back for Super Showdown. He wasn't even fucking on this week. So I don't know what his situation is.
There you go. You just finished my storyline of Bray Wyatt's fucking title run. His whole gimmick right now, he gets defeated at WrestleMania by the Demon. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Hey, there we go. Okay. You know, it's teamwork. That's what we go for here. I like it. See, this is like how WWE creative should be. We just bounce ideas off of each other and we come up with gold. Right? Right, Platt?
You don't like it.
Yeah. You consider this gold. Cool. Shut up. Yeah.
Okay, we'll see how it books out. See if this actually would have been better than whatever they end up doing.
Well, that's probably, I don't know. It depends on how much creative control he has, because he seems like a super duper creative guy, and they've given him the ball to run with during this Firefly Funhouse thing. So if they let him continue to have some input, then everything should be all right. But it's WWE, so there's that. They fuck up a wet dream, so there's that. I love how Raw has gotten much better and has been exponentially better the last month or so, but at the detriment to SmackDown, which is basically now just Raw Lite.
Yeah, that's what I like. It's just a continuation. It's so fucking awful.
And fucking, SmackDown was so good for so long.
It was. And then, what was it, 2 weeks ago, there was like 19 minutes of wrestling on fucking SmackDown? The wrestling fucking brand? We get fucking 19? Like, what the fuck?
I don't mind it if it's good shit. Like, every, you know what I mean? Like, every show doesn't have to be wrestling heavy. Every show doesn't have to be talk heavy. Agreed. Just entertain me. But
I mean, Miz, maybe he broke the fourth wall a little bit this week when he said the whole thing about how Shane bleeding over with the two brands has just turned it into just stagnant garbage. And he's not really wrong. Like, I don't mind the Shane move. I don't mind heel authority. I don't mind Shane basically trying to be Vince for the new generation. But it's just, it's not catching. Like, I don't see it. Like, you know, it just, it comes off a little forced and a little painful.
I disagree. I think it is catching, and I have to give them their props because they have been, there is a notable difference in the product. There's a lot more physicality. They're getting a little more loosey-goosey with the language. Sure. I think Stomping Grounds tagline is what, kick ass and take names or some goofy shit like that. The Shane thing, I get it. Like, when in doubt, go back to the McMahons. And I don't know if that's from, I don't know if that's from what side that's on. I don't know, because I know there have been times in the past where USA has demanded that the McMahons get more screen time, or if that's the McMahons hitting the panic button. Like, you know, the old man can't do it anymore consistently. The authority kind of played itself out. So, yeah, you go to Shane, which I think he's doing a damn good job of getting legitimate heel heat. Like, between him and Baron Corbin, for the first time in a long time, and even Lesnar and Heyman, they've got some legitimate heels, not like heels that cool heels, like a Kevin Owens or something like that, that we politely boo, but people that are actually getting legitimate heat.
I'll give you that one. That makes sense. And I agree with you about the whole Shane thing. He's doing fun, but my big issue with it really just comes down to, I think it's too much talking when his segments come up. Like, yeah, a lot of stuff ends in a brawl or a shitty, like, fucking gauntlet match or handicap match or some gimmick match. But it's just a lot of his talking, it's just not captivating. And I get the fact that that's the character he's supposed to be, smarmy, daddy, rich boy, kind of just getting his way because he kind of owns part of the company. I get it. I just, it's just not interesting to me. I think that's really the thing, and I don't hear the crowd reaction really biting into it. Like, there's a lot more malaise than there are boos, and it kind of works for Roman because people are popping harder when he goes after people, and when he beats the shit out of people, you hear audible cheers and people seem to like that. But when it's just Shane and his little posse, it's just, it's a little rough. It's a little quiet from the crowd side, you know?
Well, let's stop with the talk and let's get to the action. That was a segue. That?
Yeah, I thought it was. Good job.
I know it was a segue.
You did a great... You, Mr. Pike, you did a great fucking job there.
Dude, apparently not.
No, you did. You did. I was horrible. I'll have to edit this at some point. No, I'm not going to. Fuck it. Yeah. I was going to go to a commercial. That's what I was going to do. Ah, Christ. Alfred, get out here.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Gentlemen, Stomping Grounds, worst fucking pay-per-view network special, whatever the fuck you want to call them nowadays, fucking name I've ever heard. I wish they would just call it Great Balls of Fire. But anyway, what would you like to see moving away from Stomping Grounds as we go through this pay-per-view? What titles changed? What storylines moving forward? Because right now we're shaping towards SummerSlam.
Yeah, ain't nothing going to happen significant on this show. This is like a throwaway show, which ironically enough, watch this. This is going to be one of the best shows of the year. Because that's typically how it happens. Those off-brand ass pay-per-views that nobody's checking for, they end up being the best shows. So this is going to be one of the better shows of the year, I bet you.
I.E. Battleground from like last year or the year before, right? Oh, I had that same thought the other week. Oh, fucking A. That's a great, great point. I'm serious.
I mean, or it goes back
get out of my fucking head, man.
Or it goes back to Great Balls of Fire, like PC just mentioned. Like, nobody thought that was going to be a good show. Everybody busted like Vince's balls for going back to a fucking antiquated song and something stupid. And the fireballs looking like testicles. And it was going to be so fucking shit. And it was like one of their best pay-per-views all year, however many years, 2-3 years ago, whatever the fuck it was. So, I don't know. I hope, you know what I'd hope to see? I hope to see Sasha Banks return on this pay-per-view.
Ew.
Because it's a perfect kind of segue, because Alexa finally kind of has Nikki's trust, because Nikki's seen enough of Bayley kind of being an asshole and kind of interfering in what she wants to do, that Nikki is all on board with Alexa. Bayley kind of needs somebody, so you can easily bring Sasha back for that one as kind of somebody to help her out. But it'd be, you know, Sasha fashion, helps her out to keep the belt against Alexa, and then turns on her immediately in the show to try to, you know, wedge herself in as number one contender. That would be fine. I'd be perfectly okay with that, and the crowd would pop hard for Sasha to come back.
I would pop hard for, never mind.
Amber might listen to this. Remember that.
She ain't listened since then, man. Ain't that a blip? Thanks for supporting, babe. But you know, the swerve is going to be that this is setting up for the Bayley heel turn, right?
It could be. I mean, well, whichever way. Maybe Sasha comes in to help, and then Bayley turns on her because Bayley tried to say the whole thing this week about not needing anybody's help to get where she is, and she's a whole different Bayley. So that would be fine too. But I prefer Sasha as a heel because Sasha talks so much better as a heel than a face.
Why do we assume Nikki's on the up and up?
That's fair, because she's the one out of the three that people care the least about. Or that's why. That's fair, but
why not get her over and have her beat them both up and they have a triple threat at the next pay per view?
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
I don't see that happening because
I don't either. Nikki
is
they paint her
as crazy but sweet, and she's friends with Alexa still. And until Alexa does something to injure that friendship to Nikki, Nikki's going to probably remain loyal. That's kind of how I see that.
The only thing I can think of is instead of Boston Hug, they can name him the Cash and Ass Connection.
Yeah. That's the best thing about Bayley's current gimmick is that she's been wearing jeans lately instead of those shitty fucking ring tights. Because the ring tights didn't really do a lot for her. I don't know if it's because the colors or just the whole gimmick made her look like a 10-year-old, but Bayley's got a nice body, just that Jay Leno chin kind of ruins everything for me.
I almost got myself caught up a few weeks ago because it was right in the middle of SmackDown and I had to run to the store for a second. I forgot something. I was trying to finish dinner
to buy tissues.
Ha ha. And Bayley was about to come on the screen. She was about to. I remember if she was wrestling or interviewing or whatever, but I'm leaving out, and I look over, I'm like, oh, man, I'm a Miss Bayley. And everybody's like, what you worried about her for? I don't care about her. And I had to catch myself. Like, yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, she's whack. Damn it.
But what else we got going on Stomping Grounds? Kofi and Dolph, that should be pretty good inside the cage. Baron and Seth, who do y'all think is going to be the mystery ref? I've heard Brock Lesnar's name floating out there. What do y'all think? Don't everybody answer at once.
I mean, I know Tunney has something, and I think Tunney was the one that said it, and I love it too, because I think Greg responded to the tweet, and it's a great idea. So I'm not gonna bite this style. So you want to say?
Go ahead.
You don't want to say it?
No, you can go ahead. You can go ahead. You can say it.
Your idea of the Charlotte Flair thing is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it wasn't my idea.
It wasn't your idea?
No, it wasn't me. And I don't like that. If I liked it, I would have taken credit for it, but it wasn't me.
Who was it?
Huh?
It popped up in my timeline, my Twitter timeline.
She has no match. That's a good conclusion.
I mean, it's also good because it screws over Becky. And they're kind of playing up the whole relationship.
Okay.
So I the way they wedged that in there. Plus, Seth hit a woman. Like, the validation was perfect. Like, that's a great fucking idea to make Charlotte the guest referee. And that could give Corbin the rub. It could. Because, honestly, the thing I hate about this angle is Seth Rollins. His whole bitch-made fucking taking a chair to people because he's a crybaby bitch that people are coming after his fucking title, when he's a pussy that fucking cashes in during WrestleMania and make it a triple threat match, doesn't even beat Brock, beats Roman, when he's done all this other bitch-made shit, and then now he's just has to wail around a fucking chair because he's tired of fucking people coming after him, and he won the belt by fucking hitting Brock Lesnar in the dick, like, twice.
So when Stone Cold did it, it was cool, though, right? When Undertaker beat Brock by hitting him in the dick, it was cool, right? But now all of a sudden it's a problem when Seth does it, huh?
Okay, yes, cool. It is. Yes, it is. It was and it is.
It is because it's not in the character, honestly.
Why Seth isn't
was,
it?
Seth was painting himself as the goody-goody. Seth was painting himself as the baby face with all of this fucking, for like, beforehand, with the whole doing everything for Roman and for the Shield and just trying to be super over-the-top baby face and fighting against Ziggler and McIntyre.
Yeah, and suddenly that got over as well as a hand job in church. So they're
fucking
trying a different
sucks. Don't get me
they're
wrong.
Put him, give him a little edge. What's wrong with that?
They're doing it too quickly to me, where it seems bitch made. That's all he it is. Snapped. It's like now he suddenly got the fucking belt and now he's a pussy. And I don't know what the fuck the whole point of that is. Like,
because the pressure of Brock in the Bank is getting the best of him, and he feels like everybody's after him. He's paranoid, just like every other wrestler in the world, and he's snapping.
That's like not a bad way to take it, but yeah. I like the way how you just rationalized it there. That's fine, but I don't like that for the character when he's supposed to be the architect and he's supposed to be cocky and confident and, you know, talk of the walk type idea, and now he's a paranoid bitch who gets fucking hissy fit whenever fucking somebody's music hits or whenever somebody might be coming after him. It there's not enough of a gradual turn to make it seem like, all right, now he's getting it. Just suddenly he's paranoid, suddenly he's upset that, oh god, it's Lesnar, so now I have a fucking threat, so now I'm gonna cry. Like, that's just I don't know if it's the way it was written that just bothers me, which was why it bothers me so much, because it just seems forced and quick. Or I mean, I've never been a fan of Seth Rollins anyway.
There it is.
I mean, I've been honest about that I've never been a
fan. Quit while you're behind. Like, you, everything that you just said, the last 3 minutes of your soliloquy are now null and void.
No, it's not.
Just from that statement right there.
Watching a story and not liking a character are not the same thing. When if you watch Game of Thrones, which I read the book, so I didn't watch it, but here's the point. Everybody hated Jaime Lannister because he fucking pushed a kid out the fucking window. As the seasons went on, people didn't mind him. Okay, maybe not everybody, because you're just special and soulless and alt-right or whatever that hairstyle makes it. But
fuck,
regardless,
that kid.
Most people thought he was like an attempted child murderer.
Hey,
so
guys, they found he hated me.
Hated Jamie. And then as the situation went on, people turned around. People liked him. He fleshed out his character more. So that's the whole point. So just because I start off not liking somebody doesn't mean I can't see his story and just think it's fucking stupid or rushed.
He doesn't really hate Seth Rollins. He hates WWE. It's okay.
I know. He's not Mini Meltzer. He's Baby Meltzer.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. If I hate WWE so much, why do I rate them fairly favorably every time I do the fucking Raw and SmackDown ones? Except for SmackDown lately, because you said it yourself. SmackDown's been just a run on a fucking Raw. That kind of blows.
That sounds like Meltzer. Well, if I hate WWE so much, how come I said TakeOver was better than AWE?
I didn't. And it's AEW.
Whatever. You know what the hell I meant.
I mean, I didn't, though.
Really, you didn't? It's a wrestling show and you didn't know what I was talking about?
No, I didn't rate TakeOver.
No. That's what Meltzer said.
Oh, I know that's what Meltzer says. Meltzer's a fucking asshole. Who gives a shit?
So is Balls.
So are you!
So what?
So, this is how we conversate. Let's go. So, okay.
I got two blind spots on the whole board, and that's Ricochet and Sasha Banks. Other than that, I'm fairly objective. And I put my cards up a little bit. Say that again.
You want to reassess that slightly?
Oh, and the blacks.
I was about to say, yeah. You put your cheeks off black whenever an opinion shows up. It could be Biggie or God, and he'd be like, well, Biggie moves his hips like a motherfucker. I got to go with that wig. And it's like, what? What?
Yeah.
So that's a hell of a blind spot.
And somebody got to look out for us, man. Hell, ain't nobody else. I admit it. I ain't scared. My cry, two tears in the bucket. Fuck. Oh, you know, another theory I heard to go along with the Charlotte thing, which that wasn't bad. I actually heard Becky, too, for the rationale being that she's the one person on the planet that Seth won't hit with a chair.
That would be funny, too.
That would be funny. Logistically, it doesn't make sense, though, because how would Corbin, you know, benefit from that? But, yeah, I heard that one.
Do it either.
Say that again.
How would Corbin convince her, especially when she's got the match against Lacey?
Touche. But, I mean, Shay could step in and say, well, if you don't do it, you're going to get stripped of your title.
I got it.
Power of the Black Panther will now be stripped.
I got it.
The fact that you went from Shane to a Black Panther reference, I don't even know what to say there. I'm like, what?
I got it.
Then say it.
Stephanie.
Can we not?
Yeah, we're good.
No, thank you.
Okay, well, next week I'll have three words for you.
You were wrong.
Left myself a lot of leeway there. You guys ready to move on?
Let me see, is there anything we missed on stamping grounds?
That matters? Joe and Rick... But you think Rick's going to win that one?
Nah, man. I can't see Rick going over on this one, man. I think that's just part of Samoa Joe's killing spree is just going to continue.
Or do you think it's going to be gimmicked out with Cesaro interfering because apparently he's got a hate boner for Ricochet?
It'd be a good out for Rick. That'd be nice. And I got to give WWE their props. I haven't appreciated the way that they booked Rick since he's been in there. But the crowd's starting to come around to him. So whatever they're doing, obviously, I guess it worked.
They are. I was actually surprised with that, too.
Yeah, he's starting to get good pops. But, yeah, I don't think they're going to put the belt on this early. I think they're going to let Joe run with this for a while. Well, they should, man. He should have a long, lengthy reign. That seems like a good spot for him. You know what I mean? If he's not going to be in the title picture, let him have a nice, lengthy run with the U.S. title.
So, Blatt, let me get this straight. You're not.
I'm not fingering Ricochet.
You're not pegging Ricochet for a U.S. title run here.
I'm not pegging Ricochet.
That's good to know. That's good for everyone to know. It's just a general PSA. No one here is pegging Ricochet.
I am not pegging Ricochet.
Could be your one and only.
Love the guy. Love him. You know, he's my fave right now. But yeah,
I wonder if that's where the sound effect came from, because maybe he can just shoot like the fucking ball out of his ass, and that's where the Ricochet kind of sound effect came from in the beginning of his music. The pew.
I had one, but I'm not going there.
Yeah, let's not.
I got a choke in my head. I'm not going there.
Let's not.
Oh man.
Let's listen to our good friend from across the pond real quick before we move on to the next topic.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gentlemen, a little bit of freestyle here, so why don't we bring in the man you already mentioned earlier in this podcast?
Just when they think they got the answers, I change the questions.
All right, guys, before we get to our last topic, which I already know what we're going to talk about, so let's try not to talk about anything related to G1. But I want each of you to pick a subject that's really bothering you right now in a good way or a bad way. So maybe bothering is the wrong word, but stimulating you in the wrestling world. As I continue to rant a little bit to give you some time to think about this, but you know, let's do a little 3-minute warning here, 3 minutes apiece on something that's really catching you in the wrestling world right now.
Go ahead. You got some?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you said all. Oh, well, now that you mention it, okay. You know what's really pissing me off right now, or grinding my gears, or is churning my butter, or pissing in my cornflakes, or whatever
grinding your gears
you want to use.
finger in your asshole.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a good one. Well played.
Really?
Is this AEW hate that's disguised as WWE love?
What?
Because people are saying that, you know, people are hating on AEW, but it's under the guise of people hating on WWE. So in order to counteract the hate coming on for WWE, they're hating on AEW. Did any of that make sense to anybody other than me?
A little bit. Saying that your issue is people that are hating on WWE in support of AEW, there's people that are just being contrarian. So they're hating on AEW as a way to support WWE?
I think, yes. Like, what you're saying is that the haters are just continuing to hate?
Did they have their hater aid?
I guess you could say that. But, I mean, yeah, but it's under the guise of people, of them defending WWE. Because apparently there's this groundswell, I personally haven't seen, of people that are cheering for WWE to fail and AEW put them out of business. Like I apparently that's a thing. I haven't seen it personally. Have you seen this online?
Oh, of course. There's been people that were marking out for AEW before, as it was just mentioned of being a thing, and people throwing around the competition word, and AEW is gonna just bury WWE in fucking ratings, and you know, AEW is going to put on a better product, and all these people are going to jump ship from WWE to come to AEW because WWE is obviously garbage. And, you know, and then they're using the fact that the stocks have been down $12 or some shit like that over the last quarter as just some weird harbinger of the death knell of fucking WWE when, what was it, 4 years ago, they were down to like $20 a share and it came up from there, and they've turned, you know, profits, like just record profits. So yeah, I've seen a lot of just hive mind echo chamber jerking each other off from both sides. And it's
okay. Well, then they're on my nerves too. Then they're getting on my damn nerves too. Like, why can't we just everybody just enjoy everything and let's just enjoy it?
Because something has to be clearly superior. Don't you know that? Like, you can't like DC and Marvel together. Marvel obviously is superior to DC to 90% of people that talk about it. I said to 90% of people, Tony.
And that's probably low, but yes.
Yeah, it's like, I think like, my estimation is actually a little low when I just said 90%.
Hey, man, it's... Hey. Tony's upset. It's PC Tony, Bob... Kane and Frank Miller. That's it.
We should just call him DC, Tony. That's what it should be.
Oh, I like that. Batman. Thank you. Good night.
I don't disagree with you. But regardless, it's that same concept. And I know, coming off of your stance, sort of, it irritated me when people were crowning AEW before the show even happened, before Double or Nothing even happened. And it's just, it's so annoying. And that kind of blind fandom is what generates a lot of contrarian thoughts and contrarian kind of comments. Because when people are, after one show, already saying, it's the best thing out there, it's the best wrestling in the world, that's been ROH's fucking tagline for the last 15 years. And they haven't actually been the best wrestling in the world for at least 10 of those 15. So... It's all hyperbole that every wrestling company uses, and for as smart, quote unquote, air quotes on an audio podcast, you know, as fans are supposed to be now, when they really get invested, it gets to the point of just ridiculousness. And I'm pretty sure there's fans from the 80s that would look at some marks nowadays and just go, wow, y'all are stupid.
Yeah. And you're right, man. It is both sides, man. And I'm just, you can't like one without, or it's possible to like one without attacking the other. And it's also possible to be critical of one without totally dismissing it. Like, there's, you know what I mean? Like, there's good and bad everywhere in wrestling. Yeah, you can look for the good or the bad, but yeah, it doesn't have to be, everything doesn't have to be goddamn Pepsi versus Coke. That's all I'm saying. And that's irritating me. And I'm sick of seeing all these takes on my timelines too.
Oh yeah. I mean, I agree with you 1,000%. They're getting old, especially the recent take that came up using the Pepsi and Coke example about how people are up in arms that Xavier Woods and Kenny Omega couldn't do anything together at E3 because they're on competing companies. But then when AEW says that John Moxley can't perform in the United States because that's kind of where AEW runs, suddenly people are upset.
Yeah.
I think I said it totally wrong,
but I understood what you were trying to say.
I had like half a bottle of Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey because I've missed that, so I went back to that. And it's late. But it's irritating because it's not the same thing. Or it is the same thing, and people just don't want to equate it the same way because they like Kenny Omega and Xavier Woods, so they want that to be a thing, and they want to hate at contracts and corporation shit. But since AEW and New Japan are beloved by most of the internet wrestling community, they can't do anything wrong. So it's okay. It's just business. Don't worry about it. Moxley not being in Dallas, it's just business. Don't worry about it. But WWE putting the kibosh is evil.
I mean, why can't we all just get along? I mean,
that doesn't happen.
You can't ignore the fact that...
You want free love? Let me tell you a joke. Why couldn't the lifeguard save the hippie?
Why?
Are you going to give us a punchline?
Why?
Yeah, it was too far out, man.
We need the whammy effect right now. That'd be good.
Did you see they redid Whammy? It's on network television now.
I saw they redid Press Your Luck, but I didn't actually see the first episode because I think the first episode was last week.
Oh, so John Cena is now the host of You Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
That's true too.
Because it's on Nickelodeon. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, that should be interesting. He'll probably be good at that. I miss John Cena, by the way. I'm just throwing it out there, man. I don't care who says anything. I miss John Cena.
You're allowed to miss people that you don't see that often. That's fine.
That's my dude. Hustle, loyalty, and respect. He earned mine, damn it. But, I mean, you can't ignore the excitement and the shot of energy that AEW injected into the world of wrestling, like, ever since this was announced. And you can't deny that this shit is cool, man. As you know, some wrestlers got together, they found themselves a money market, a billionaire that's willing to finance their dream. They did a pay-per-view. They've got a television channel, or excuse me, they've got a TV show on a major television cable network. I mean, all this is cool, man. It's really cool.
People have been looking for another WCW for the last 20 years, though.
And
I'm just saying, like, that I just need to see it evolve. I'm sick of people. It's the Grounham thing. I'm sick of people saying this is the new big thing and you have to like this because this is what it is. Nobody just goes, this could be fun. This could be cool. Everybody goes, this is the new hot thing. If you don't like it, then suddenly there's something wrong with you.
And like, I'm sick of people being overly critical of it when it is just a startup. They're just getting off the ground. And the same criticisms that you have for AEW, you don't necessarily hold WWE to those same standards.
I agree with you, and I haven't really been critical of it when it comes down to it. You know, I enjoyed Double or Nothing. I just need to see where it's going. And using that mentality right there, if you want to say people don't allow WWE to play out their storylines and see where it's going, it's because we've had the last, I'll put it down to 5 years of stories getting botched and stories just falling apart or just ending the wrong way or horribly or the way people don't like or whatever that is. So that they're burned, but that's off of context. That's off of historical knowledge. AEW doesn't have that yet. And that's, I just want to see that build up because ROH was basically like the second coming of ECW, just less hardcore, a little more focused on technical stuff. TNA was the first WCW 2.0. Then a few years ago, New Japan became the hot thing. Once AJ Styles jumped over there to Bullet Club, and now we have AEW. So, like, people have been looking for something to crown for the last, like, 15, 16 years. I'd like to see it happen, don't get me wrong, because I love competition, and I love WCW, so I'd love to have an alternative. But I'm also not blind enough to just put all my chips in on something that's unknown.
Fair enough, and I mean, I want everybody to win. I want everybody to succeed. There's great things about everything. There's, you know, things that you could be critical about everything. The fact of the matter is, there's enough chicken out here for everybody. A rising tide lifts all boats. And this is a wonderful time to be a wrestling fan right now.
I want chicken now.
Me too. Anywho, moving on.
Well, moving on.
Topic five. It's time to kick it. All right, gentlemen, before we kicked it across the pond to Kenny Killa, now let's kick it across the big old expanse of the Pacific Ocean and talk about the G1 over in New Japan. Balls, you got to be excited. The schedule is... Oh, geez, really? Are you make me play this? Can you make me do it? I got to find it.
Play something.
Yeah, I got... it's in here somewhere. Where is it? Oh, come on, where the hell are you?
That's there what we go.
Oh boy! All right, Platt, y'all limbered up and stretched out and ready to go.
It be. Here I have no idea where we're going. But the song you're gonna say, yeah,
Pearly Shinsuke's song.
Yeah.
All
right, we'll stop there. Shinsuke, I didn't know that until I didn't know until recently that he was the youngest
IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was way back in like 03, wasn't it?
Hey. Yes. The good old super rookie.
There we go. Mm-hmm. All right, Andrew, let's talk. Let's start off with you because Platt is clearly in his own world right now.
He usually is whenever we go into anything Japanese, even though he somewhat follows it.
You know I'm not even trying to be a jerk, man. I'm actually looking forward to this year's G1, man. Yeah, there's a lot. My man Ibushi's in it. Moxley's in it. There's a lot of good shit going on, man. Ospreay seems like he's about to get a good push. Like, there's a lot of guys that enjoy his work in the G1 this year. So I'm more interested in this year's, or more invested in this year's G1 than I have in the past few years.
Andrew. And, of course, one of the biggest stories is Kenta. Like, and how Kenta, can you not love the fact that he just decided to pop in there?
I forgot about that. And Kenta.
Yeah, so I can see him definitely picking up a win over Okada since they're in that same block. And the way New Japan usually likes to try to do it is when somebody's a freelancer or not 100% committed, they'll still give him a big win over somebody like an Okada to headline one of the quote-unquote B shows, like a Power Struggle or a King of Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, they did that with Ibushi.
They did that with Marufuji also. A couple years before that, because Marufuji's the big name from Noah. And I think even you know who Marufuji is a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. So they like to kind of do that whenever they have in freelancers, we'll call it that. Since everything I've seen, read, and heard, Kenta has not said he's 100% with New Japan. He's just 100% for the G1 climax. So this could be interesting. It could definitely. Well played.
We love you, Rick.
Whole different kind of climax, too. But yeah, it's going to be weird because, you know, Suzuki isn't in it. We got Taichi in it for the first time, which that's always hit or miss with fans. Some people love Taichi. Some people hate Taichi. Lance, big boy, Lance Archer, Lance Hoyt, however you may know him, you know, he's in there. So I think he's going to be eating a few pins, though. I think Tama Tonga's not in it. And so yeah, it's a weird grab bag of people, but it should be damn good.
Who's the fat Super Junior that Ospreay beat in the finals of the Super Juniors?
He's not fat. He's a...
Oh, my bad. Big Bone. The Big Bone Super Junior.
That's funny.
Takagi is who you're talking
that's
about.
Really funny.
Takagi is a thick boy. Like, he's a former bodybuilder. He ain't fat. He's that's all thick right there. You look at a picture again. Takagi will fuck you up. He'll fucking take his Billy Ray Cyrus mullet and beat the shit out of you.
No arguments here, man. The motherfucker just fat. What you want me to do about it? He got a little weight problem. He got some glandular issues, man. Got some thyroid issues going on.
I don't know what you're watching. Like, that's pretty solid.
He's
like,
phenomenal, though, by the way. I just want to throw that out there. He's phenomenal.
I'm glad, because Shingo was the big reason that I followed Dragon Gate a couple years ago, because he was with Dragon Gate for 15 years. He's like a four-time Open the Dream Gate champion, which is what Pac has right now. So, like, Shingo has a huge career beforehand. I think he even had a little bit of time in ROH at some point when Dragon Gate USA was a thing. So Tunney might even have a little bit of idea who Shingo is. But it's going to be great.
Well, everybody's heard of Shingles, man. And it's the...
Yeah, the I heard Shingo of them. I know exactly what you're talking about. Papa Shingo.
And here, I thought you were going to say Shingles was that tennis ball company that just decided to make chips instead.
Fuck it, man. Cut them up.
I'm glad someone got the reference.
I got it. Once you stop, you can't pop. Or once you pop, you can't stop. I got it.
The Mitch Hedberg. You tell me you like Mitch Hedberg.
I'm not that familiar with him, man. I'm not even going to lie. I've heard the name a lot, obviously.
All right, just imagine a constantly drunk and or stoned white guy. And that's exactly how he told all the jokes as well.
Peace out,
buddy. One of my favorite jokes of his is like... escalators, they can't go out of order. They just become stairs.
Sorry for the convenience.
Yeah, sorry for the convenience.
But imagine it said in like one of those weird kind of like drunk, dulcet kind of stone tones.
Platt, when you get a chance, go on YouTube and just watch like a 5 to 8 minute clip of the best of Mitch Hedberg and you'll fucking get it.
Okay,
if,
fair enough.
If anybody else said these things, it wouldn't be funny. Like, he...
He's like he's like a
he was talking about how if he fell off a boat. So he prefaced it with, you know how every time you get an iced tea, they put a lemon or an orange wedge in your tea. If I fall off a boat, I want someone to throw me lemons, and I will be saved. And it's just like, you're just sitting there going, buoyancy of citrus is so dumb, but it's hilarious coming from him.
That's funny.
So the G1's gonna. Oh, say your piece about Hedberg.
No, that's okay. It's too late. It's too late now.
I was just going to say, G1's going to be fantastic.
No, now I want to say it.
You got a bunch of people that Western fans know and enjoy. You're going to have the classic stuff. I really like the fact that they're getting Okada Tanahashi out of the way first, because Tanahashi is banged up, and I really, really don't want to see him later on in the tournament. Like, he's looked kind of rough the last few times he's been on shows, and it's almost time for him to like take a sabbatical, I think. But either way, good stuff. I mean, there's really nothing that I can say too much. Platt, do you want to put out a possible finals prediction?
I'm not going to put out a finals prediction. I am going to, because I don't know how the brackets are lined up, but I'm going to throw a couple of names out there that I would watch out for in the tournament. Obviously, Kota Ibushi, you know, y'all know he's one of my faves, has been for the past few years. The fact that he's signed with New Japan now and he's, you know, part of the squad, so to say, I think that I expect big things for him in this tournament. I wouldn't be surprised if he won the whole thing. Excuse me, another name to look out for is Will Ospreay, who's really starting to come into his own. I hadn't seen much of his stuff, excuse me, in the past few years since he, you know, fucked his shit up a couple of times. But he seems like he's learned his lesson. He still does some goofy shit every now and again, but he's toned himself down tremendously. And that match that he had with Papa Shingo at the final of the Best of the Super Juniors, that shit was phenomenal, man. That was one of the better matches I've seen all year. I turned on the show to watch my man Juice versus Moxley, and I kept hearing good things about the Ospreay match, so I kept it on there. And, yeah, that was phenomenal. I wasn't disappointed at all. So I expect both of those guys to to have good showings in this tournament as well. And Ospreay, even after that match, he hinted at maybe trying to step up in the weight class a little bit and compete more in the heavies. So I could see big things for him as well as fair as well as Papa Shingo. I mean, that was the first match he lost in New Japan, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so I can't see him just going on some losing streak all of a sudden. So yeah, so I think he's going to have a good showing in the tournament. As far as Western guys, I don't know. I mean, Moxley's going to be strong. He's obviously not going to win it, but I see him looking strong. I'd really like to see him versus, I know Suzuki's not in it, but I'd love to see him versus Suzuki. Like, just see them just beat the shit out of each other. I think that would be cool. And we'll kind of get a feel, a flavor for what a possible Okada-Moxley match will look like next month when we see, I'm blanking. This is how you know it's late. Kenny Omega versus Moxley. So that'll kind of give us an out or blueprint for what a match with Okada might look like. But it's because that could be interesting as well. A couple of other names out there. I'm just going to throw Juice out there. That's my man. And Jay White seems to kind of been lost in the sauce. This might be a way to kind of reinvigorate him. I mean, there's been a lot going on, a lot of movement. You know, Ibushi, Ospreay, Moxley's there now. So he feels like he's been kind of playing the background lately. So this might be a good way to kind of resurrect and give him another jump start. So I would look out for him as well.
Oh, I'm actually right there with you, where I think it's going to be either Ospreay or Ibushi from Block A. And then Block B, it's going to be Naito, or it's going to be...
Ah, I forgot about Naito.
Jay White. Because I think those four guys are positioned the best. I don't really think you're going to throw Okada in the finals again. Like, I think they learned their lesson from his two-year run where you don't want to shove Okada in front of the fans too much. Because halfway through his run, they were cheering for literally everybody that wasn't Okada in the match. So... Granted, they're Japanese, they're polite, they still cheer after Okada wins the match, but, like, the fan support was almost 100% for the challenger that back half of his two-year reign. So I think they learned their lesson there. Okada's probably going to get a couple losses here or there. One, I think, to Kenta. Maybe one to Ospreay, because that's a fun story, because I think Ospreay's wrestled him three times so far and lost all three. And Okada is also the reason why Ospreay is in New Japan. So that would be a hell of a stepping stone for Ospreay if Ospreay could overcome Okada during the G1. And then we could get junior champion versus heavyweight champion for the heavyweight belt at some point, like the Destruction Tour or pro, Power Struggle or something like that. Because if the champion loses, he kind of has to avenge those losses. So that would be fun. I think that'd be a really good way to wedge in Ospreay versus Okada without having Ospreay have to win the tournament.
And unfortunately, we can't have nice things. Like, we can't get Ibushi versus Naito anymore because these melon farmers can't not try to kill each other whenever they wrestle. So
it could happen, but yeah, I don't think that's going to happen for that reason right there.
Sheesh. Can't have nice things, man.
You see that match?
I saw the spot. I didn't want to watch the match after I saw the spot.
Oh, the German suplex on the apron?
Yeah, man.
That was the only, like, scary spot. But they always have one dumbass spot in every fucking match of theirs. It's oh, boy. They're going to kill each other at some point.
Yeah, that's why they just shouldn't wrestle anymore. Like, just don't let them wrestle anymore. That's how we're going to solve that.
I mean, they've wrestled, what, three times, I think, already this year? So there should be some space between that. So yeah, I think if Naito wins, then we're not going to see Ibushi make the finals. But then again, if Jay White versus Ibushi, that could be money, because Jay White can go. People may not like his character that much or just think he's like emo typical Western guy because, you know, he's white and he's in leather with a knife. but whatever, he's still really fucking good in the ring. So I got to respect White there.
What is he, New Zealand or Australian?
New Zealand.
Yeah, just white folks with an accent. Americans with accent.
American with an accent, yeah. Just like Ospreay and Zack Sabre and all that. I mean,
yeah, why does everybody like? I don't get the Zack Sabre love. I mean, he's a great wrestler, but what? He's just plain Jane.
That's my favorite guy outside of WWE. ZSJ is my man, dude. Love that guy. I love watching that guy. Fucking since the fucking
number one, he's way too 205 skinny
tournament
to be wearing drawers. Number one, put some tights on like a big boy.
He tells he's,
and he's
one
just
of the,
plain man.
He's been one of the top. He's been one of the top five storytellers in the ring for the last 3 years.
You sound like Meltzer, man. I just heard him say that he's the best in-ring worker of all time.
That's not what I said.
No, that no, I know that's not what you said, but you sound like that.
No,
not that's, of I, all time, but Sabre.
No, I said the last 3 years. I'm talking about the last three years.
Tunney's right. Like, it, as much as Meltzer as it may sound, nobody tells a better in-ring story than Sabre, and it's technical. It's now some people don't like technical mat wrestling, so I get it. It comes off a little vanilla. It comes off a little ho-hum.
No.
I'm not saying, I'm just generally speaking.
Let me clarify though. I'm not talking about his in-ring ability. He's damn good in the ring. Nobody's taking that away from him whatsoever. He's just vanilla ice cream. He's white bread. Not because he's white. He's just plain and boring.
His persona is very British. I think that's the problem, is that every time he cuts a promo, it's usually on, like, British Parliament or Tories or some shit like that. Like, the Brits love him because they like that kind of personality. And I think that's the disconnect for other Western fans, American fans, whatever you want to say it, is Sabre is very, very British. Where Ospreay really isn't. Ospreay is just a flippy, crazy guy who likes to do cool shit, and he curses a lot. So it's easy to get behind Ospreay.
Well, that's not fair though, because I love
Sabre is kind of like.
It don't get more British than Stephen Regal and his in ring style. I like his in ring style. Like it was,
Regal was more caricature British, where he was just, you know, intelligent and sneered a lot. And he was like every British guy you'd see in like a Looney Tunes cartoon. You know what I mean? Zack Sabre is like the current kind of British kid, where he's kind of still kind of a punk and he's still kind of rebelling against Parliament and Tories or whatever the fuck is going on over there. And he's got like snide little things to say here or there about political things. But it doesn't come off with that same... just I don't want to say like a veneer, but like Regal was just like, he was just a caricature. He was like the prototypical bad English guy from every movie, from every cartoon. You could wedge him into a fucking Austin Powers movie, would have been fucking hilarious. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was just that personality. Sabre's really not.
Fair enough.
I don't know if it's the modern thing or whatever, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. But one more thing I wanted to say about Naito, though. He is, what, in his early 30s?
Mid-30s.
Okay, he's in his mid-30s. And this melon farmer already walking around like Mick Foley, man. He got to relax, man.
Him and Ibushi are the same age. You know that, right?
No, I didn't.
They are both 35 or 36. I don't know when their birthdays land, but they're
the same age.
Yes.
Yeah, he got to relax. I mean, I feel like Ibushi gets along better than he does. You know what I mean? Like, I just be watching the gapes on some of these guys. Like, he reminds me of MB. Like, his gait bothers me because he walks like and runs like an 85-year-old man.
Thank you.
36.
Tony just confirmed they're 36. Like, I didn't know when their birthdays were, but I knew they're somewhere in their, like, mid-ish 30s.
Okay.
Naito's is on June 22nd.
Oh, happy birthday, Naito, because...
There we go! That's nice!
This will actually air on Naito's birthday, probably. So, happy birthday to Naito. Happy birthday to you.
Kota's older.
By how much? Like a couple months?
Kota is 37 as of May 21st, so happy belated birthday.
Happy belated to my man, Kota Ibushi.
There we go.
Eating some sushi with Lucy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Is he feeling loosey-goosey?
No, that's another Ricochet reference, huh?
Oh, boy. I wasn't trying to, but Ricochet and Ibushi did have a lot of classic matches together, so...
We love you, Rick, by the way. We love you, Rick. Whatever you're into, that's what you're into, bro. We love you, man. You know, you're number one.
Oh, God damn it.
You certainly keep your finger on the pulse, sir.
So Kota's 37, Ibushi will be 37, so same age, basically.
There we go.
He's hoping you're not ass out versus Samoa Joe this Sunday at Stamping Grounds.
Maybe that's how he's going to beat him. He's just going to stick it up there real quick and then, like, run it under his nose real fast and be like, hey, you want to sniff?
What would you call that? The reverse mandible claw. What would that be called? The doctor exam?
All I know is I got it. Listen, I got an email from Ricochet, and he's inquiring about Andrew Belez and his special skills.
I butt chug salt water all the time. That probably helps loosen you up, honestly, and then you don't get any residue when you pull out. So that's actually, there we go. Maybe he's been listening the whole time. That's what it is.
Ding, ding. Ding, ding. Hey,
well, shout out to one and only. Shout out to just shout out to wrestling in general, man. Shout out to Kota Ibushi. Shout out to Naito and his beat up body. Shout out to Superman, aka Zack Sabre Jr. If you remember on my New Japan review, I said him and Roddy Strong need to wrestle in a winner plays the next Superman match.
That does work though. That'd be a damn good match. But yeah, I get where you're going
you get
with it.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. He
was probably an excellent swimmer. He got one of Michael Phelps' bodies. He probably eats like 3,000 calories a day and doesn't gain an ounce. I used to be like
that. Sabre?
Yeah.
Sabre's vegan. That's why.
Oh, that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much food you got to eat when you don't eat meat?
Yeah. And that's probably why he's so damn thin.
Sheesh. Anywho, all right. Anything else we got to touch on? Anything anybody wanted to say, wanted to get off their chest, something that they've never told anybody?
No, I'm good right now.
Okay. Well, then,
I knew this was going to be one of those kind of parties, I would have stuck my dick in the mashed potatoes a long time ago.
I did it like this. I did it like that. I did it like, fucked it up. Fuck it, go.
Let the good folks know where they can find you, Blaz.
Twitter, IWC War Chief. What it always is. How about you, Plant?
Cool. Shout out to Ricochet. Shout out to Harry Bratwurst. Shout out to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. Get well soon, fellas. Shout out to the Toronto Raptors. Congratulations for bringing in the first championship to Canada. I've got some information on that. I don't know if I believe it, but it makes sense. But that's neither here nor there. All I will say is I heard an interview with Adam Silver, a.k.a. White Tony Dungy, the commissioner of the NBA. And he was talking about how one in every five Canadians was tuned into that series. Like one out of every five Canadians, not just the province of Ontario, but Canada, all of Canada, period.
All of Canada.
All of Canada, period. One in five Canadians were tuned into that thing, into the finals, which is amazing, which tells me that they'll have two teams up there within the next 10 years, and they're going to use your boy Drake as the ambassador. That's why he was all over. There's also a picture floating out of him and Adam Silver working out at their hotel in Toronto during the finals, so that's neither here nor there. You can't really fake injuries, but I'm not going to go there. Anyway, shout out to the Toronto Raptors. Everybody came out yesterday. They had their parade. It's all cool. Happy birthday to Naito again. Shout out to my mother. Just had to throw that out there because she probably listening. And yeah, you guys can catch me at Twitter on The Real C Platt. I said you can catch me at Twitter on The Real C Platt. You can catch me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. I'm just going to say something nice and wrap it up. More importantly than that, make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official chair shot merchandise. Again, if you enjoy what we do and the content that we provide you, not just us, all the great shows that we've got. We've got the Greg DeMarco show. Every like 6 months, Ray and I do a chair shot radio. We've got the Raw Reactions. We've got Attitude of Aggression, Uncomfortable Truth with Big Rick, the Miranda Show. We pumping out content daily, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. Like, boom, another column just went up. Boom, another column just went up. Boom, we just got another column. If you enjoy all that we provide you, the men and women of The Chair Shot, show us some love. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. The Chair Shot is not just a website, it's a movement. Mr. Tunney, where can everybody find you?
Oh, well, thanks. You know, thought you might have forgot there.
Hey, man, sometimes I go in promo mode. What you want me to do, man? I cut a promo. My bad.
You can also listen to the DWI podcast. And in addition, this week you'll find the Chair Shot staff picks, which tends to trend right up towards the top for 3 days at a time when it's on the website. So, you know, you might want to check that out. You can follow me at PC Tunney. And I just want to say, I did it with a wiffle ball bat, so.
Ah, that's why you were pissy, because you thought I was burying you or not putting you over. That's fair. That's fair. Shout out to DWI.
No, that wasn't it. Without my hand gestures, you forgot to fucking kick it to me at the end. It's okay. I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, I got in my zone, man. I apologize. But shout out to DPP, Mrs. P, get well soon. Shout out to my internet. I don't know if you all have noticed, but we've had a change in internet, and everything's kind of rolled rather smoothly, if I do say so myself.
Kind of has, yeah. It's true.
Yeah, yeah. Next week, I Might even try to turn on the camera in this melon farmer, you know, feeling a little adventurous.
Ooh.
Yeah. R.I.P. to PC Tunney's hair and his hairline, apparently. He got one of them joints out. You know how you got the big piece of hair in the middle and then the sides are missing and that's the hairline, you know what I'm talking about?
He just like, had to like shave his head in shame because the Raptors beat the brakes off the Bucks and then they won the ship, so it's okay.
Oh, I thought he just had lice.
Wow, I'm getting fucking all sorts of fucking sparky plugged here.
So it, never mind. Shout out to Mr. O'Shea. Hey, man, for the Commissioner PC Tutty, for Andrew Snowflake Blaz, I'm Christopher Platt. We're right back like we never left something. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy Stamping Grounds this weekend. Does the G1 start this weekend as well?
No, it's Thursday.
Or is that next weekend?
July 6th.
Oh, I thought it was like the end of June or something like that. Okay. Well, enjoy Stamping Grounds. MLW had a good show this week. Y'all should go check that out. And enjoy life, man. Get outside. Go to a beach or something, man. See some sunshine. Have a margarita with a pretty woman or a pretty man if you're into that sort of thing. Go do something. Live a life. We out. We'll see y'all next week. Hit it, Carly.
You. I hate your hat. I hate your t-shirts. I hate your wristbands. I hate your shoes. I hate your music. I hate the C Nation. I hate everything that you stand for.
I bet you Ricochet's booty hole sounds like when you let the water out the tub. We love you, Rick.
Well, that's why he has to butt chug the salt water to make sure the seal is still there. It's all a safety precaution. That's what it is. He's like, did I break the seal? Oh, no, it's still stuck. All right, we're good. Soon he's going to be able to fit the entirety of Casey Catanzaro up there because she's kind of tiny and flexible. So maybe that's what his idea is. A little kind of Lemmy Winks thing.
Is it weird that I'm over fascinated with their sex life because they're both just so athletic? I just imagine them doing some ridiculously freaky deaky shit.
Well, at least now you know fingers go in certain places, so that's good to know.
They probably just when it's time to have sex, they probably just roll out the twister and then just just spin the twister.
Right hand blue. Oh, we haven't done this before. Two fingers brown. Oh, I get it.
Five fingers pink. Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever she's into. She's athletic enough. We'll snap back. We're good.
Fingers and thumbs. Fingers and thumbs. Oh, look over there. Now they come.